Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast, Inflation Nation. Not too much news I want to talk about today. I am going to cover a brief story out of the Washington Post with respect to the $1,400 relief checks that the Democrats are thinking about and what President Biden might do. Is he going to sort of compromise on this? Is he going to lower the number of people who are going to receive them? We'll talk about that. But I just sort of want to bring everything back just to sort of just do a little bit of a pulse check here with what we're staring at, what's likely coming to us down the pike, and inflation is already here. Everybody knows this who actually understands the real economy. Not the academics, not those who are arguing, well, it's more deflationary, and look at the velocity of money. Well, clearly, if velocity is low, inflation cannot be in existence, which is a bunch of gibberish and a bunch of garbage. Look at reality. People are not living paycheck to paycheck prior to COVID-19 because the cost of living was so affordable. People are not protesting and rioting in the streets in one country after the next around the globe because the cost of living is so affordable. This is just some common sense. And I have to remind you that inflation is always a monetary event. It is an increase. It is inflating the money supply, which of course we know is happening, and it is happening globally to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. And of course, tomorrow and Thursday, we will have our typical discussion with respect to initial jobless claims, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, and what happened with M1 and M2 money stock. And market expectations for initial jobless claims are expected to come in north of 800,000 again. So we'll see what happens. Another heartbreaking figure, if that's true. Several hundred thousand heartbreaking figure. So we'll find out what happens tomorrow morning. Market performance, because this is going to lead us into our discussion about inflation, because we're seeing some prices on the move. The question is, will these be sustained? But we have the dollar index still trading north of 91.3. So that's putting some downward pressure on precious metals, which we'll get to momentarily. The euro is down against the dollar, trading at $1.20. The British pound against the dollar is at $1.36. So we're seeing some broad weakness here in some of those major pairs over the past couple of days. And Bitcoin is currently trading at $37,900 per coin. Choppy session today on Wall Street. Overnight futures trading, we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average flat. Same for the S&P 500. And the NASDAQ 100 is currently up about 0.25%. Japanese cash trade gave back 1% for the day, a mixed bag across the pond in Europe, and the Australian exchange gave back 0.8%. But here is where it gets juicy with respect to seeing costs and prices increase, which of course is the effect, the side effect of inflation. People always want to say, well, it's inflation, prices increasing, that's inflation. No. The expansion of the money supply is inflation. The effects of that policy, of those actions, is higher prices. The question is, where do those higher prices occur first? To what degree? To what speed? And their duration? Okay, and a lot of those things are going to be determined perhaps by policy. So we know policy is part of the equation with respect to financial assets and financial prices because we know that the Federal Reserve is trying to create a wealth effect. So they want all of this extra money, this extra liquidity, to go into the financial markets in the hopes that it makes rich people richer. And then that once they have those profits, they can start spending the money throughout the economy and everybody will become wealthier as a result. But that's BS economics. That's baloney. It may have a marginal effect, but it's not a big enough policy to really drive this economic engine. This is a huge economy here. That's marginal. It's not really making that much of a difference. But it sure does cost us a lot. And net-net, it becomes a negative and a drag on current and future growth. All right, so understand that. that inflation is an increase in the money supply. Increase to prices is the effect thereof. But now we're going to start witnessing prices increasing, not just in financial assets, but in other assets, whether that's commodities, because we have WTI trading at $56.10 a barrel, have not been at these prices since last January. We have Brent at $58.83 a barrel, same thing. And we have natural gas at $2.78. Precious metals, we have gold at $1,822 an ounce, so getting hit, going back to where we were a few weeks ago. And silver is also down another percent, trading at $26.55 an ounce. All right. So with respect to energy prices, oil isn't everything. Right? This is a transportation cost. You want to ship things across the oceans. Yep, you're going to need oil. You got an airliner. You got oil. You want planes, trains, automobiles, everything. You are talking oil. Now, the question becomes, do these prices, do they start to level off? Do they start to turn south? Or do they continue to march higher? And how are these logistic firms, how are they going to start hedging their bets, or how are they going to start pricing this in? What are their projections? Because as I always say, there's only a few options that are available to producers, to corporations, to companies. It doesn't matter the size, small, medium, large. They can eat these cost increases with respect to energy costs and transportation costs. That's going to squeeze their margins. And a lot of these businesses are already operating on tight margins because we're in a recession. And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, we are in the greatest depression. So their margins have already been squeezed. Can they continue to squeeze them further? Because we all know from Econ 101, the law of demand. You increase the price, quantity demand is lower. So do these companies, do they want to pass on these energy price hikes onto the customer? It's a risky gamble because a lot of customers are also facing the side effects of this recession, of the lockdowns, losing their jobs, or maybe keeping their jobs but having to take a pay cut and having a lot of uncertainties. Okay, so these are the questions that remain, and all of the policies that have been enacted from the Federal Reserve, from other central banks, and from federal governments the world over, but I'm really focusing here on the U.S., has basically sealed our fate. Had this conversation a few months ago, a little bit of a history lesson, looking at what happened during the Great Depression. The policies following the stock market crash led and created the Great Depression. What would have been a serious recession turned into a depression. Same thing is going to happen here because they have done the same thing and to an even larger degree. So it's going to cost us and future generations that much more because of this, because there is no free lunch. And they're not done. As we'll soon find out with these $1,400 checks, we know they want to come. We know they want to push them. The question is how much and when do they start coming out? And is this going to be piecemeal? They wanted to do the big bill, $1.9 trillion. Well, are they going to have to break it up in different tranches? Are they going to pass it through and cram it through the Senate through budget reconciliation, basically just needing a simple majority of 51 senators? All Democrats and Vice President Kamala Harris would do the trick. Okay, this is what we're staring at. This is going to have an effect. It already is. So we have to pay close attention to what's happening with energy prices because it is in everything. It is part of the cost equation at every single point across the supply chain. Can't operate without energy. It is there. And if those costs continue to go up, margins get squeezed, prices go higher for the consumers, or a combination thereof. The net result is it is not good. So this is Inflation Nation. This is going to turn into what is known as stagflation because you have inflation. Obviously, the increase in the money supply, but now you are starting to see its effects showing up in consumer prices, not just in financial assets, but in consumer prices, coupled with a stagnant economy. So, stagflation. And for all of you who go out and shop, go to the grocery store, know that not only are they getting you on the price, but they're also getting you on the amount of goods that you're getting. Maybe last year you used to get something that was 16 ounces or a dozen in a pack. Now it's 14 ounces and 10 to a pack. But it's the same price, or if it's even, it's an even higher price. So there's other ways for these companies to start trying to skim some margins, but they're going to screw you in the process, unfortunately, because they're trying to stay alive. This is what happens when you continue to operate from a central command position. Everybody thinks in Washington, D.C. that they are central planners, that they can pull on this lever here just right and pull on another lever just right, and everything is going to work out. Doesn't happen that way. In fact, they are making things much worse. They are keeping companies of all sizes alive that shouldn't be. They have done this for a while. These are your zombie corporations, small, mid, large, does not matter. Does not matter. They should be out of business. They should be restructuring. They should be liquidating. This would allow well-run organizations, small, mid, large, to pick up that market share, to hire more people, and to be more productive. That's what drives an economy. Production drives an economy. That's what makes real growth. Printing money, putting in the hands of consumers, and hoping that they spend it is not growth. It's spending. But they didn't produce anything because they're not working. So what do you think is going to happen? Again, common sense. Prices are going to go up. And I do not care, as I have stated here many, many times, I do not care what people are not buying. They're not buying them? Well, chances are those prices are going to come down because there's no demand for them. This is about survivalism. People are going to need the basics. They're going to need the necessities. They need rent. They need their utilities. They need energy. They need food. And that's another area where we're starting to see a lot of price pressure increasing, is in the agricultural space, also in the metals. Not yet the precious metals, we know those are manipulated, but at least when you're talking about aluminum and copper and zinc and others, prices continue to rise. We saw the huge move up in lumber. We saw the huge drop off in lumber, 33% decline in one session. Now it's gone back up. Okay, that's going to have a huge effect on housing prices, which are already going up. So as these home builders continue to build, mainly for the higher end market, because that's where they can get bigger margins, these prices are going up as well. It's a financial asset. That's where all this funny money is making its way to. Doesn't matter if we have all-time record low mortgage rates, if you're really starting to juice the overall price of the house. You are pricing buyers out of the market. Doesn't matter what the interest rate is. That's what I have always been trying to get across to this audience. It only gives you so much benefit for so long. It comes down to the total price of the asset. Not just what the interest rate is, not just what your monthly payment is going to be. Do the math. You would much rather have a lower total price of the asset and a higher interest rate than vice versa. Just do the math. So there's a lot to pay attention to here. And when you round it out here with market performance, and we have Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note yielding 1.14, we haven't been here in a while, okay? So this, to me, is not because the bond market is predicting growth. To me, this is more a question of the bond market pricing in inflation coming down the pike. It's already here, but of course the government statistics, central bankers, politicians will tell us it doesn't exist. They have every reason to tell us that because it's in their interest to do so. That's the incentive structure. If you have a lower inflation number, well, then you can have a higher real GDP figure. Because to calculate real GDP, you take nominal GDP growth, subtract the inflation rate, and that gives you real GDP. Well, of course, if inflation is lower, then you're going to have a higher real GDP rate. But if you really calculated inflation accordingly, we might still have a real negative GDP print, which, of course, is not going to look good for any central banker who's trying to save the day, and it's not going to look good for any politician who is trying to advocate that without them and their policies, well, hell, all hell would be breaking loose. So it doesn't do them any interest. It also doesn't serve them any purpose to calculate a more realistic rate of inflation because of the entitlement programs that we have that are tied to a cost of living adjustment. Been through this before too. That's Social Security. If they really gave you a cost of living adjustment, well, it would probably be closer to 4, 6, maybe even 8% to really account for the true rate of inflation that exists out there. But instead, they say no, 1% is more realistic, or 2% is doable, and that's all you get. Because if you just think about it, just think if they really calculated inflation as it was really represented through the real economy, and they accounted for that with Social Security outlays, how much bigger our budget deficits and thus our national debt would be. Just because of that. They've ripped you off your entire working career, taking Social Security taxes out of you. Then they give it back to you and they don't even properly calculate the inflation rate to give you a true cost of living adjustment. They get you coming and going. It's never enough for them. Never enough. And we're talking about a national debt that's at 27.8. Let me check here. Give me one second. Yeah, 27.8, almost $27.9 trillion. You look forward ahead 4 years, we're at $49.7 trillion. A few weeks ago, we had $48 trillion and some odd change. Now we're at $49.7 4 years from now if current rates maintain. And the Democrats are just getting started. Okay, this is far from over. And I talked about the savings destruction that occurs over this four-year period according to the U.S. Debt Clock, usdebtclock.org. Right now, $27,500 per family. Those of you who have been with me during these conversations, yes, that is lower than what it was a few weeks ago when it was at $28,500. Now, $27,500. So we already lost $1,000. Fast forward 4 years from now, savings is at $1,458. It used to be slightly north of $1,500. Now it's $1,458. That's theft. That's inflation. It's already staring us in the face. It is already occurring. And they will deny it, because it is not in their incentive to do so. And we still don't know what the central bank, what the Federal Reserve, what Jay Powell and company are going to do once inflation really starts to show itself, even in the government figures. How long will they tolerate inflation above their target of 2%? They've talked many times before about how we want it to be symmetrical now. This is all nonsense. This is not academic. You're not going to find this garbage in any textbook whatsoever. They're making this stuff up. But they used to target, and they still do, inflation at 2%. But because, according to their figures, the government's figures, that inflation was lower than 2% for so long, well, now it's okay if inflation runs hot, meaning a little bit higher than 2% for some time. The question that still remains outstanding is, what does that mean? What's hot? 2.5%? 3%? 4%? And how long? 3 months? 6 months? A year? 2 years? What does all of this mean? They don't have the answers because they don't know. They are shooting from the hip, hoping that their policies are going to solve the problem. They're not, because their policies cause the problem. Their policies are the problem. And they're never going to come out and admit this. Nobody wants the music to stop playing on their watch. Nobody wants the hangover from this bull market, from this party, to end on their watch. The entire incentive structure is messed up, and we, the American people, get to flip the bill. It's not a good deal at all whatsoever. So just pay attention to all of these things. I'm just trying to connect the dots for the audience. One of the rules of the cynic, by the way. Know how to connect the dots. When you look at that, $27,000 plus per savings per family today, down to $1,500 4 years from now, that's not economic growth. That's economic destruction. That's inflation. That's taxation. That's lost opportunity, which I've been preaching here and talking about for 2 years now. Longer than that, but this podcast has only been on since 2019. That's what happens We're going to add another $22 trillion of debt in 4 years, but we're only going to have an additional three and some odd change trillion to GDP. That's a ratio of 7 to 1. That is completely unsustainable. It's completely ridiculous. It's criminal. It's immoral. It's unethical. It's un-American. But they ain't stopping. So here's the article out of the Washington Post. Here's the new Democratic plan for $1,400 stimulus checks. Some economists, Republicans, and moderate Democrats have argued that this third round of economic impact payments, more commonly referred to as stimulus checks or relief payments, should only go to the hardest hit families. Some say the payments are a waste of taxpayer dollars. That would be somebody like me. The economy is getting even worse for Americans with a high school diploma or less education, and Biden and Democratic leaders in Congress argue a third round of stimulus checks is necessary to ensure people who have lost their jobs or taken a pay cut still have enough money to buy food, pay rent, and get the medical care that they need during a pandemic. But the White House has signaled that the president is willing to narrow who gets them, sending checks only to low and moderate income families this time around. The latest proposals Democrats are considering would send $1,400 payments to individuals earning $50,000 or less and $2,800 to married couples earning $100,000 or less. And then they further provide some other statistics here. And then you have some of the other news that came out of the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, that states here, U.S. unemployment rate to remain above pre-pandemic level throughout the decade. Let me repeat that. The U.S. unemployment rate is to remain above pre-pandemic levels throughout the decade. Well, there's no surprise there. Look at the numbers that we've continued to see on a week-over-week basis. Look at how we continue to see more money coming down the pike from these relief payments, stimulus checks, whatever you want to call them, incentivizing some people to simply stay at home because they're earning more from gaining these checks and the extra money that they can get claiming benefits, whether that's from state benefits, PUA, PEUC, or anything else, than it is going to work. People are being conditioned. This is sit down and shut up money. And other people who don't need it, well, look what they're doing with some of them, of course, saving it, which I don't blame them. And then others we have continuing to feed this frenzy and this mania in the stock market, which just makes the mania that much more dangerous and the destruction, the eventual fall, that much more devastating to everybody. Again, especially the little guy, because nobody knows how to time it, but most little guys don't even know to look out for it. That's the problem. This is going to catch them so off guard, it's not even going to be funny. I'm telling you, this all is going to end in blood and tears. It's basically hitting rock bottom. I would rather people be proactive and aware of these things, but there is no sign whatsoever out there that there is a big enough movement on any side of the aisle or elsewhere that is going to make people say, you know what, we're wrong, we're on the wrong path, we got to be now proactive, or at least a little bit more reactive, a little quicker to respond to what's going on, and maybe we can reverse some of this. I see no evidence of this whatsoever. In fact, I see quite the opposite, because I hear it from policymakers, central bankers, politicians on the right, on the left, doesn't matter. More stimulus checks, pushing through budgets through reconciliation, not caring about bipartisanship. Par for the course, ladies and gentlemen. There is no unity. It's the same garbage. It's the same junk. It's the same arguments here. Oh, well, elections, they have consequences. Yeah, well, I thought this victory was predicated off of uniting the country. Just ramming your policies through on one side of the aisle doesn't seem like a very unifying message. And I can't even defend it because they're the wrong policies to begin with. It's not like that side, the Democrats, are saying, well, let's just rein everything in. Let's stop the spending. Let's see what happens. Let's allow the economy to sort of gain some type of momentum here. No, they're not allowing that at all. They just want to continue to print, borrow, and beg for more money and just throw it out there and hope that something happens. It's not a strategy. And it's there's no free lunch. This is the most expensive problem we have ever created. And it's our fault. We voted for this. I didn't, but a lot of you did. And it doesn't matter if you voted for Trump or Biden. You voted for this because Trump was hooting and hollering for $2,000 checks. So I don't want to hear it. There were trillion-dollar deficits before COVID-19, so I don't want to hear it from the conservatives and the Republicans who are so fiscally conservative. I don't want to hear it. I can at least respect the Democrats because they say, well, you know, we don't care. We don't understand math, but we think this is right. We'll give you more money, and yeah, we're going to try to tax some people for it. So at least they're trying to pay for it. Republicans give you this BS policy of, well, we'll cut taxes, but we won't cut spending, and then maybe there'll be some trickle down. No, it's garbage. It's junk. It's been disproven I don't know how many times, and it's common sense, too, at the end of the day. I don't support the Democrats, never voted for them, not going to, but I at least appreciate, we're going to screw you, but I'm going to tell you that. Republicans, they're going to screw you, but they're going to say, well, we can maneuver, and it's not going to be that bad. No, it's that bad, and it's just as bad as the Democrats, which is why they both have to go. And I hope the GOP is fractured, and I hope the GOP collapses, because then we're 50% of the way there. And with what the Democrats are going to most certainly do over the next couple of years, because they're going to maintain the majority for at least the next couple of years until the midterm elections, well, they're going to give themselves enough rope to hang themselves to, and hopefully that's it. Hopefully that's the end of this two-party system, this two-party crackhead system that we've been dealing with for far too long, that has trampled upon our Constitution, infringed upon our rights, has decimated free market capitalism, and has instilled corporatism, fascism, and socialism that is ruining us and rotting us the inside out. This is Inflation Nation. I hope you are prepared for it, because it is going to be truly destructive. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.